Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, November 4th, 2025. It is November. And it's really, it's just incredible, honestly, that it's November. I mean, we all know it was coming, but I'm excited for this month. October was October. Fall in full volume. But this month is going to be fun because my family, my son, daughter-in-law, and my three grandchildren are coming for Thanksgiving week. So they get here the Saturday before and they'll stay with me. And that's just going to be a whole lot of fun. But I've, you know, have a whole list or have had, you know, I make my lists way in advance. I live by lists. I live by lists because I don't know how I would get anything done if I didn't have a list to refer to. And I break them down. It's like I have my fall list and then I have my fall cleaning list. And then I have what needs to be done outside list and all of those things so that I keep myself on track. And I started working on my cleaning a couple weeks ago. And, you know, it's not like I have a mansion or anything. I mean, my house is about 2,300 square feet, and I just go room by room, but I'm doing my cleaning as I'm online for calls. So that creates a really interesting sort of dynamic, you know, because, you know, motivation doesn't have an on-off switch. It just doesn't. Like creativity doesn't have an on-off switch. I can't go, oh, well, today I'll paint, you know, or today I'll clean, or today I'll do this, or I'll write. Well, you know, you can put it on your to-do list, but if you don't have the jazz you need, the inspiration you need to do it, it's going to be like, you know, all you're going to meet is resistance. That's simply said, all you'll meet is resistance. So, you know, being in flow is a whole lot better because being in flow, everything flows together. So I worked on, I'm down to my last room, which is my office. And I always save that for last because it kind of scares me. It's got a big bookcase in it, bookshelves in it. And there's just a lot to dust and clean. But everything else is done and it feels really, really good. But as I was saying, that flow is also kind of, you know, being willing to be in that flow because actually I'm available for calls. So the phone might ring at any time and I might be in the middle of, you know, washing a window or something like that. So, you know, just, it was a practice in acceptance too, because it's like, okay, the phone's ringing. Okay. I'm done with the call. But now I have to go back to cleaning. And it's just kind of interesting. It's like, oh, no, this is not the right timing. But it is the right timing or else it wouldn't have happened that way. You know, the call wouldn't have come in when it did if it weren't the right timing. But it's just, it's fun to be in that flow aspect of it. Because then it's like, okay, today I intended to do my kitchen. And it just didn't get done. And that's okay. That's okay. So it's like lists, but flexible lists. And that made it really fun because I really enjoy every minute of that. I love to clean. I love it when all the glass is shiny and the cabinets have been wiped down and just everything is looking the best it can. And I do it twice a year, spring and fall. And it just is very fulfilling to me and I really enjoy it. But the part that I couldn't get to was the outside because of patio furniture. There's patio furniture, and then there are other things out there that needed to be covered and stored. And I was waiting to hear from my nephew who was going to come and help me. So, you know, last week it's like, well, I could go out there and I could like clean off the tables, and leaves are just pouring down because it was really cold last week. So, the back patio outside my office, excuse me, was covered in about 3 inches of leaves, I think. Maybe not three, but close to it. I was just covered in leaves. And so, okay, you know, I got a little blower, which is great. And that helped a lot. But still, it was like, this is a project that I can't just go out and get done because I need help getting it done. It needs two hands. It needed two people, four hands, two people. So anyway, he was finally available to come and help me on Saturday when the weather just happened to jump into the high 70s. So we worked out there for about 3 hours, got everything done, and that was just perfect. I mean, there were a couple of days last week when Grace and I went out for a walk in the morning and it was in the 20s. It was like 26, 28 degrees. And every day that I thought I'll go out and do something, it was cold. So that was just God, you know, just a kiss on the cheek from God, making, just being provided for. And so we got that done. And the guy that does my windows is super busy. And I texted him, and a couple days later last week, he texted me back and he's coming tomorrow. So that's going to be done. And then I'll have the fall cleanup of all the leaves, more like the week before they get here, because there are still more leaves on the trees that are going to fall in my yard. So I want to wait till the last minute on that one. But it just feels so good. It feels so good just making progress toward the goal. And I'll have the last of the cleaning done sometime this week. But then it's like getting stuff ready. Then it's putting up a tree because we celebrate Christmas. So it's all just a really exciting time. And it was kind of funny because all of a sudden it's like, it's November. I need to be working on this stuff because, you know, lists are lists. You just never know when you're going to be able to tick them off. But anyway, just experiences and just, as I said, always provided for. I'm just always provided for. And I love to share those experiences with you because, you know, when you notice good things, more good things happen. That's just how life is, you know? That really is. We reap what we sow in thought, in action, you know, in everything that we do. That's what's constantly happening. So anyway, this show is live today on 12radio.com and streaming on YouTube. If you'd like to join the chat, just go to 12radio.com, click chat, then click the YouTube link posted under my banner. You can also subscribe to my channel. I don't do readings on the show, but if you would like a reading or healing from me, you can find me every day on 12listen.com. I'm usually available mid to later morning Pacific into the evening. If you don't see me or if I happen to be busy, just schedule a call or put in a callback request and I'm notified immediately via text. I'll get back to you as soon as I possibly can. My Autumn Abundance 15-minute time-based session is still up and available. Just, it's where we work on getting energy out of the way that impedes your ability to receive, because this is the time of the harvest. Just in nature, this is the time of harvest. And so no good is ever withheld from us, ever, ever. We have everything we could possibly need. But, and we have it because it's within us. It's within that infinite self that is us. And so we're only ever limited by our beliefs. So by releasing limiting beliefs, releasing unworthiness or whatever might be in the way, then, you know, we're available to have more of the good that is actually a part of us and that we are by all means entitled to. So it's a good session. It's a productive session. And just a reminder, we have reduced rates on calls and chats a few times a week on 12listen, typically Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, and the 12th of each month. Tomorrow is not only Wednesday, but is the full moon in Taurus. So we will have special rates on calls and chats. I'll be available about 10:30 a.m. Pacific time into the evening, and I would love to talk to you. And if you want to be notified of our specials, go to 12listen.com and sign up for 12 promotions. And I just want to thank you again for listening, for being here today, or for listening however and whenever you do. You could be listening to this months down the road and say, November? It's summertime. But there is programming 20, 24/7 on 1-2 Radio, and there are archives of all of the shows from all of the hosts in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. You can download them anytime you want. 1-2 Radio is a great source of inspiration, information, and support, so I invite you to take advantage. And I just want to say thanks to Serena right now for producing the show today and for all she does for us on 1-2 Radio. And let's move into the teaching segment by listening to a song called Ambient Spa by David and Steve Gordon from the Nirvana Groove CD and Sequoia Records. Enjoy it for a few minutes, and I will be back right after. Thanks again for being here. You're listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that music. I am going to get this bug out of my throat, or frog, or whatever it is. I apologize. So today I want to talk about attention. Attention. Mainly because it's there are just so many aspects to it. So many aspects. And that's what I want to do. I just want to go down, and I have several things that I want to talk about, you know, attention in different contexts. Let's say it that way. Attention is our superpower. That's what it is. It's how we focus. It's whatever we focus our attention on expands, whether it is something we want or not. I think it was Chopra that said, attention is love. So even when we've got a problem that we're fixated on, that we're worrying about, we are loving that program, that problem into expansion, because love expands what it's focused on. So the thing is that we know that. We just have to remember it, because when we remember it, we are empowered. And so that's why I tapped on the shoulder to talk about it today, and then it kind of kept going and going and going. But, you know, I love sharing what I call kisses on the cheek from God, those little stories that I share at the beginning of the show, because they're good things. They're good things that happen. And they not only prove that I'm always provided for and supported, but really and truly, we all are. And we can count on it, because nobody got gypped on the God factor. Nobody. That is who we are. But the way we bring it into expression is by counting on it, by expecting it, and not, you know, like, I expect this. Sometimes when we go into that mode, you know, I expect this to happen. What we're doing is we're actually limiting it, because it's like kind of like we're putting walls around it, right? We're putting a structure around something. So I expect this to happen. And a lot of times, think about that. I could feel it when I said those words. When I said, I expect this to happen, I'm convincing myself, or I'm trying to convince myself, or maybe I'm trying to convince God that I expect it, so pitch up, you know, show up. Well, the thing is that God is not a withholding God, not a withholding God in any way. And as Reverend Ike says, and I quote all the time, God has no more to give us, nothing more to give us, because we are God. We are the individualization of Source. The self, soul, being, consciousness, life, and mind of us is Source, is God, is all that is. So, you know, when we expect things to happen, that's a good thing. But at the same time, just knowing that we're always supported, I'm always provided for. Therefore, I can just get comfortable in that knowledge, in that knowledge. Now, knowledge is something, when we know something, it becomes a part of us. It's just a part of us. We know it, right? We don't have to think about it. We don't have to reference it. We know it. We don't even have to revisit it. It just is like, oh yeah, that's how you do that. Or this is how that works. But when we know it, and we know that we can count on it, the more we count on it, the more we experience it. And that knowledge of it, and feeling that we can count on being supported, is also known as faith. It's faith. So, you know, this show is called Empowerment because that's my intention. With every teaching that I do, with every minute that we're here, it's about empowerment, and it's about really recognizing who we truly are. You know, and if you notice the good in your life and realize that it's Source or the infinite self, it just simply demonstrating through and as you, you know, I mean, that's it. Every bit of good, every every good thing, every beautiful thing that we notice is God blessing us. You know, we wouldn't know beauty without our divinity. That is our divinity. So, you know, the more you notice, the more you get, the more you, because what you do is you expand your ability to notice, you know, by determining or just making a commitment to notice all the good that you possibly can today. Just tuck that into your head when you set off onto your day. You know, notice the good, celebrate the good, be blessed by the good, you know, have that, receive that. And then the more good you'll notice, it's like gratitude. You know, the more you're grateful for and grateful for everything in your life, the more you'll have to be grateful for. It just works that way. Because noticing the good, you know, having attention on the good and being grateful are energies or vibrations that you put out into your world. And what you vibrate out, you attract. So, you know, we're here to keep our corks afloat, as Abraham would say. And you can't do that by being caught up in the world and in negativity. I mean, I don't know how you can. I can't. I absolutely cannot. And, you know, because my job is to be neutral so that I can help other people, I can't afford to pay attention to the news or even sports. Because I get too easily attached to one team and take everything that's done against them personally. And that sounds so stupid, doesn't it? But it's the truth. And I know myself, and I stay away from sports. I just do. Anyway, but really, what you focus on expands. And that's how you keep your cork afloat, is by focusing on beautiful things. And I have Philippians 4:8. On a piece of paper taped to my wall right next to my monitor. And that, you know, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I love that. I love that. I know that by heart, but it's really cool to just look up and read it several times a day. So, first place, or the first category, let's use category, that I want to talk about attention is attention in demonstrating. You know, demonstrating what it is that you want in your life. So, whatever it is that you want in your life, give it. Whatever it is, give it. You know, one step toward God and God takes 9 steps toward you. I love that saying. It's always you first. What do you want? Do you know? Do you know specifically what you want? Have you made the decision to move toward it? Or is it still just a wish? You know, a wish floating around. Wishes are just gutless. Basically, they've got no legs, they've got no structure, they're just a wish. Oh, I wish that, or I wish this. They're really nothing. But you make a decision for what you want to have in your life or what you want to do. You make that decision, and the act of making that decision moves you toward it. It just does. It's Reverend Ike again. The power of a made-up mind is the power of God. And it is. Because when you make a decision, you have a focus. And that's how you use your attention. Making that decision is an act of attention and intention, right? So all you could ever desire, all you could ever imagine is within you, within your consciousness. And God is your consciousness, your being, your soul, your infinite self. You know, as Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is within you. It's all there, but you have to open out a way for it to express in your physical world, And that is your work, opening out that way. You can only live what you believe, so whatever you desire, you must become. You must know it, have it. And that takes being single-minded about it. Again, quoting Neville, you wear the mood of the wish fulfilled until it becomes natural, until you have accepted it as part of you. You know it, you know it, you know that it is a part of you when the need for it is gone, when you just don't feel that, and almost when you don't feel the desire for it either. You know, that's when you've completely detached, because it's no longer, at that point, it's no longer something outside of you. When you know it, when you've accepted it as part of you, you've really truly received it in your consciousness, and consciousness is cause, it's no longer something outside of you. It is you. It is a part of you. And that feeling, when you have that realization, is a beautiful experience. It's just a phenomenal experience. It's like, oh man, I need to focus on that and blah, blah, blah. And I work with it and work with it. And then all of a sudden, it's like, what happened? I don't feel that desire. I don't feel that, you know, kind of fire that you have when you really want to demonstrate something. You don't have it, because it's then moved into phase two, so to speak. It has become a part of your consciousness. And when it's a part of your consciousness, it will demonstrate in your reality. But you can't get there if you are, and I love this quote from Sonia Choquette. I'll never forget it. I heard her on the radio say it. This woman called in and said, well, I'm working to manifest this, but, and she said, you cannot speak faith out of one side of your mouth and fear out of the other and expect anything to happen. Either it's yours or it isn't. And that's the truth of it. Have you decided? Once you make that decision is powerful. But I feel that the best way to demonstrate anything you desire, the way to bring it out of consciousness then into the physical, into your physical reality, is to demonstrate God. To do the best you can to demonstrate God. To be the best person you can be. So that you are a clear instrument through which God, who's given you that desire, is going to bring it forth. Again, we wouldn't have a desire if it weren't for the infinite self. We couldn't want anything good want to be more than we are, you know, to do more, be more, have more than we have, without that being the work of the infinite self wanting to do more, be more, have more as us. We're the vehicle, you know, we're the instrument of our infinite self here in this physical world. And all it wants to do is become more of itself in, through, and as us. So I feel like, you know, demonstrating God, I think there are four simple ways to do that, and to do it every day. Constantly as in going about our daily lives. And that is to love, to give, to serve, and to rest. And there is, pardon me, nothing magical or out of our reach about those. Nothing. It is just being conscious. And consciousness is also paying attention to what we're doing in this moment. Paying attention to other people, being there, being consciousness, being conscious, being in the moment. So loving, the first one, loving God is every person and everything you encounter. God is. There's no God and anything, God and anyone. There isn't. So just loving God as every person and everything you encounter. giving in whatever way you can. And that includes a smile or kindness or contacting someone you haven't talked to in a while. It also includes money. If you desire money, cast your bread upon the water. You first. It's always you first. And then God responds. No matter how much or how little you have, you know, every dollar, every cent is backed by the infinity of supply. So there is no little. There's no lot, there's no little. It's just every cent, every dollar is backed by the infinity of supply. And when you bless what you give and acknowledge that it's backed by the infinity of supply, supply is spiritual. Supply is God in you. You feel that power as you give it. You feel it because it's flowing through you. You're an instrument for it. And it's fantastic. And it's never how much you give, but the act of faith that giving is. Giving is an act of faith, if done correctly. And it's pouring out of the infinite storehouse within, and then by pouring out, we make space for more to come in. It's like trees aren't going to leaf out in the spring if they never drop their leaves in the fall. Yeah, you know, you have to give. You have to give in order to establish that flow, that inlet and outlet of supply. But everything you give, even if it's donations of clothing or things you no longer have use for, blood, giving blood. Again, giving time with someone who needs it. It's all backed by the infinity of supply. Because God or source is supply. And anything you give is a form of that spiritual substance called supply. And as John Randolph Price said, you cannot outgive God. You cannot. And you receive in proportion to what you give when you are not giving to receive. That's the caveat in there. If you're giving because you need money, if you're giving to receive, you're not giving. You're not giving. You're kind of bartering with God, right? I mean, that's not it. That's not the spirit. That's not the mood or the consciousness in which to give. Giving has to come from the heart and the soul. Giving is pouring love from your heart back to the source of love, which is God. Then the serving aspect of it. Serving certainly includes love and giving, but there's more to it. There's just more to it. Joel Goldsmith said, the formula for successful living is serving. Serving to the highest of our ability, but looking only to the Father for our good. And that's, you know, that's karma yoga. That's karma yoga. That's the lesson that Krishna told Arjuna, you know, about working. He said, we work, karma yoga is action. Karma is action. Yoga is union. Karma is action. So we work when we're practicing karma yoga, which we can do all day, depending on what we do, we work for the sake of the work, not for the reward, not for the pay. And we consider our work a sacrifice to God. That's powerful. That is really, really powerful. And that's a beautiful intention to set in the morning when we do our work. And we work, and that's all the work that we do. You know, cleaning up after our family, doing laundry, doing our work. You know, if you're employed, if not, your work is your family, your work is your home. And whatever, and all the things that go along with that, that's more work than having an 8-to-5 job. So, but thinking of it that way, you work for the sake of the work. So what that means, another way of saying that, is you work in integrity. You work in integrity. You pour your heart into what you do. And just adding the part that you're seeing it as a gift, a sacrifice back to God is beautiful. I mean, that's a beautiful circle of giving and receiving, that in and of itself. And then the last part is resting. And resting is detachment. We do our part. We know to do. We know we do what we know to do. And then we let go and rest. Isaiah 30:15. In returning and rest is my salvation. In quietness and confidence is my strength. We have to let go. If we don't detach, if we don't let go of that thing, whatever it is we're looking to demonstrate, there is no space for us to receive it. If we don't let go and make a way for energy to move, and also just handing it off. You know, the thing is you don't need to tell God, like, ever, what it is that you want to manifest. Because number one, that desire was given you by God. And number two, if God doesn't know what you need, nobody does. And you don't either. I mean, that's just the truth of it. We don't. We don't. So, you know, in returning and rest is my salvation, and quietness and confidence is my strength. That is a fantastic statement of faith and a critical component in demonstrating. And right here, I have to say, do not share your intention or desire, what you're looking to manifest, with anyone unless you absolutely know that they absolutely support you in it, that you are like-minded. Otherwise, you subject this wonderful thing that you are bringing into your life to their opinions and judgments. And what that does is it dilutes your intention and attention for what you're manifesting. I mean, they just can, you know, you tell somebody that's not on the same wavelength, they'll go, you're crazy. Or they go, well, why don't you do this instead? Or whatever it is. And that's just all a bunch of static that, you know, here you are. Whatever it is that you're looking to demonstrate, to bring into your physical experience, it's like you are nurturing this precious thing in your consciousness as you become it, right? As it becomes a part of you, as you become it, you nurture it, you honor it, you hold it close. You don't share it with anyone other than somebody, again, who can absolutely support you in it. But even in that case, I wouldn't cherish it, nurture it, feed it with your love, with your attention. Actually, feed it with your attention. So that is an important thing to remember. Just don't let anybody know. This is between you and God. Between you and God, it's covered. So it's like Irvin Seal, Dr. Seal. I shared this last week, but it's perfect right here. The Lord's Prayer is a formula for conditioning the unconditioned consciousness. The clause, hallowed be thy name, means to give a specific name to this nameless beingness, which you are. The quote-unquote hallowed state means an individual consciousness abiding in peace and confident quietness. This should be the state of your consciousness at all times. Whenever you find that this is not the state of your mind, it's time for you to pray. When you pray, you return to this quiet, confident state, believing in all things good, fearing nothing that suggests harm. And that's it. You return to that state by just getting quiet and practicing the presence, going within, getting quiet, feeling the movement of spirit within your consciousness. Every good desire you have, as I've said a minute ago, to be more, have more, do more, is the infinite self desiring to be more, have more, and do more as and through you. Therefore, you don't have to ask or remind God of your desire. All you have to do is practice the presence of God within you. Ernest Holmes said, "You exist that this power, which is God or universe or life, may have another outlet for its expression. The more life you express, the more of it flows through you. Therefore, every legitimate desire you have is the pushing of this power through you into its own self-expression. In this way, you are in partnership with the infinite." And that's from This Thing Called Life, Ernest Holmes. So now I want to talk about attention and acceptance. I was listening to an Alan Watts lecture called Buddha and Buddhism. And in it, he was talking about the Eightfold Path, which the Buddha called the middle way. To give a quick background, Gautama Siddhartha, the Buddha, his mission was to end suffering. That was his mission. In his search for enlightenment, he had spent years studying with many teachers and had become an ascetic, which is a denial, total denial of the body in order to be more spiritual. And the story goes that he got to the place of eating only one grain of rice a day. And he'd become so weak that he went to bathe in the Ganges and almost drowned because he was starving. At that point, someone helped him out of the water, brought him food. And after he ate, he sat under the Bodhi tree, determined that he would not move until he reached enlightenment or nirvana. The result of his enlightenment was the Four Noble Truths. And I'm paraphrasing here. The first noble truth is the fact that we suffer because we desire happiness. But life is change and comes as it will. The second noble truth is the cause of suffering, which is clinging or attachment to the desire for life to be different than it is, or for any desire, attachment and clinging. That's the thing that totally cuts off the movement and flow of source. The third noble truth is that any ailment that can be understood can be cured. And suffering that has a cause also has an end. And the fourth noble truth is the Eightfold Path, which are principles for living life in integrity, which the Buddha called the middle way. Alan Watts said that the middle way is not a compromise between asceticism and hedonism, but it's about living a balanced life. He used the analogy of a bicycle, riding a bicycle. He said, if you start to fall to the right, you turn your wheel to the right and you stop the fall. So say, and I'm quoting Alan, so say you're falling into fear. So you don't want to be afraid, so you resist the fear, which then causes worry. And worry is being afraid because you're afraid. So it compounds itself. But when you get with the worry and just look at it, it's neutralized. He said, living a balanced life is not about fighting ourselves. He said, there's a constant conflict between ourselves and our feelings, ourselves and our experiences. But when we accept ourselves rather than fighting our feelings or experiences, we are more in control of our lives. He said, coming together with ourselves helps us to come together with everything outside of us. And that is from Buddhism and Buddha, and you can find that on alanwatts.org, the talk. It's great. Well, that makes sense, right? Coming together with ourselves helps us to come together with everything outside of us. Because, quoting Alan Watts again, everything outside of us is as much a part of us as what's in our skin, what's under our skin. So everything is us. But if we are more tolerant of ourselves, we're bound to be more tolerant of others and of life as it shows up. attention in this example is a big player. First of all, we have to realize that we're focusing on fear, which expands into worry if we don't shift our attention. Worry takes a toll, and it can be difficult to recover from it. Worry, when you are in a worry spin, you are in emotion, and you are completely shut off from a solution to the problem, from anything good coming in, because you are tied up in emotion. Attention gives life to what it's focused on, and a worry spin is the perfect example of that. It just blows up. It's fear blown up. But if we're aware of what's happening, when we start to feel fear, and our thoughts begin to take on a life of their own, which they do, we can take a step back. And through accepting the circumstance and our feelings about it, we can see it for what it is. Just a thing that is happening. This is a thing that is happening. This is a problem. Yes, it is. But it is just a thing that is happening. It is not doing anything to me. It cannot. So, as he said, we can get with the worry, and then we can see what we believe about the thing that's happening. And when we know that, it neutralizes, because beliefs are not truth. Beliefs are not truth, and beliefs typically are not in present time. So in order to accept a circumstance and our feelings about it without judgment, we have to pull our focus out of the emotional aspect of it. And when we do that, when we're out of emotion, we are neutral. And neutrality is power. It's the greatest power tool we have. Alan Watts wrote, "The mystic accepts the whole of his experience. He accepts himself as he is, circumstances as they are, and the relationship between them as it is. He excludes no part of his experience. The freedom of the spirit, which is known through total acceptance of life and of oneself, is the acceptance of the present moment. Acceptance of the present moment, right now, allows the moment to live, allows life to live as it is now, and allows the moment to set us free." So, I have one more piece before the end of the show, and this is attention and mindfulness. Mindfulness is acceptance of the present moment and whatever's happening in it. It is giving whatever you happen to be doing your full attention. Through mindfulness, we get the absolute most out of everything, because again, attention is love. And when we're loving what we're doing, we create a circle of love, and that just expands outward. I've talked about this a million times because it lights me up. It gives a richness to life, including the mundane things of life, like doing laundry. It also expands our ability to appreciate and be grateful for all that we have. It eliminates taking things for granted. When we're in the moment, we are in life, which is only happening in the moment. As I said, I've been doing my fall cleaning, you know, going room by room, touching everything, cleaning everything, and revitalizing everything in the process. What we love loves us back. So caring for the things we have in our environment is imbuing them with love, which comes back to us. And what I mean by that is, say you have a beautiful piece of art or furniture that you absolutely love. Every time you look at it or sit on it, you feel the love that you have for it. And that's how it loves you back. And that's why it's important to have only things that you love or use in your environment. Because that circle of love is the movement of chi, or life energy, and benefits not only you, but everyone that comes into your environment. I had a client come for a reading a few weeks ago, and she's been here a bunch of times. But when she was leaving, she just stopped and looked around and said, "Your house is so peaceful." And I've had people come in the front door for the first time who've never been here before and said, "Wow, feels good in here." So that lets me know I'm doing my job. I know my job. But that good feeling blesses them and blesses me too. And it, you know, it shifts your energy. When you're blessed, your energy shifts, and then you go out and you just spread that out, you know, out into your experience, into your world. So doing this big cleaning is an exercise in mindfulness, and it's an opportunity for growth and healing. Everything I touched is a piece of my history and evolution. Each has a story, and those stories have memories and emotion attached to them, especially the things that belong to my grandparents, my mom, and Shannon. So taking care of them is sometimes bittersweet, which gave me the opportunity to practice acceptance and allow the feelings to come and go. But in this context, another aspect of mindfulness is forgiveness and healing. As I said, everything in my house is a piece of my history. They take me back to where I was in my evolution at the time that I received them, or at the time that something was going on, and they just bring back a memory of something that was going on. Sometimes they're great memories, and sometimes the absolute opposite. And that's the opportunity to forgive and sacrifice guilt, regret, whatever. I think traditions and rituals do that anyway. They bring the opportunity to heal and to move on by releasing baggage you may have held on to for a long time. It's good to remember that we live lifetimes in our lifetime, and the person we were then is no longer. That's the biggest gift of being in the present moment. There's nothing we can do about the past but make peace with it and drop it off the cliff. As Joel said, Joel Goldsmith, God is not in the past, so I suggest you don't spend too much time there either. Attention truly is our superpower, and we pay attention to where our attention is focused. We're mindful. If we focus on what we love, the good things that show up every day, we'll have more and more of them, because we reap what we sow. And on that note, I wish you a very, very blessed week. I'm Kelly Whetstone. You've been listening to Empowerment here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world. Please stay tuned to Katie Weaver. Thank you. Bye-bye.